We now move out of the study of ancient history and we begin the study of classical societies. There are about four classical societies, could be more. They include Rome, Greece, Han China, and Persia. Today we'll be talking about Persia, probably the most forgotten of the classical empires, most likely due to the fact that they were defeated by Alexander the Great, and therefore history is written by the winners, and so you don't hear as much about Persia as you normally would. However, the influence that they have over so many other societies and empires is really everlasting. The Persian Empire is broke up into four different eras. Now, the first era is the main one we're going to study. It's the Achaemenids. The Achaemenids start back in about 558 BC, and so if you think about that, that's pretty much tying into some of that ancient history we had studied. Now, they're overtaken by the Greeks, and a new society develops, and that's called the Seleucids, named after a Greek general, Seleucus. So the Seleucids operate and maintain that region for almost 400 years. And then you have the Parthians. Now the Parthians are contracted down from the Persian Empire to what is really Iran. And these guys were the ones who did stop Romans from marching through and possibly linking up with the Han in China. And finally the Sassanids that rule for almost 400 years and take you all the way up to 650 CE or Common Era. So this is Achaemenid Empire. The administrators that developed this society use special techniques that gives them one of the most powerful empires ever. This empire starts with the Indo-European migration. It is an Aryan society much like that of India. They are nomadic people, pastoralists, who have great equestrian skills. And it is that horsemanship ability and their archery ability that allows them to attack and take over cities and villages. So one of the first leaders, Cyrus, is a military strategist. But probably the most important thing about him is his ability to tolerate other societies. While he took over Lydia, Babylon, and Bactria, he made sure not to destroy those cultures totally. He blended those cultures into Persian society. However, probably the most famous of all leaders in Persia is Darius, the administrator. So, here is what Darius does. First off, he needs a capital city. So therefore, you have the development of Persepolis. At Persepolis, you're going to see the construction of many government and public buildings, such as reception halls, palaces. He's got a treasury, and it's protected, secured by the army. And that money in that treasury is what gives you the base to develop standardized coinage. Now that standardized coinage is something these Persians learned from the Lydians when they overtook the Lydians. So you can see why blending other cultures into your empire strengthens your empire. That's really what trade is all about. So you can imagine if you have reception halls and palaces and government buildings, you provide and build the conduit to interact with other societies, whether it's the local regional governors or foreign diplomats that come to visit you. So you have the creation and development of bureaucracy. A bureaucracy is where you have many people working for the government. Matter of fact, we complain sometimes that bureaucracy is holding us back, and it's probably true, because bureaucracies get big. They're efficient at running a slow-moving economy and society, but they usually aren't responsive to immediate needs. An example of this are people who become tax collectors, accountants, secretaries, scribes, diplomats, the value of record-keeping, educating advisors, developing an education system, translators. When you're going to bring in 70 different ethnic groups and languages, it's kind of nice to have translators. Developing a food distribution network. You might be able to make enough food for your country, but can you get it out to the right places in an efficient amount of time? And then there's the Quonset system. The Quonset system is really an irrigation system, really not part of administration, but I think you can't have an administration unless you have the Quonset system that gives you food, and yet You can't have the Quonset system unless you have a great administration that can organize labor in order to build this thing. It's an underground water system. And then within your society, you have the development of artisans and craftsmen. And if you protect their businesses, business will grow. And that's like textile artists, metal workers, shopkeepers, stuff like that. But probably one of the best things about the administration system is the development of the Royal Road. The Royal Road is going to connect Persia all the way from Anatolia, or what is now Turkey, through Mesopotamia and in deep down into what is now Iran. So the Royal Road is very well built, very well established, very well protected by the military. Therefore, the Royal Road is going to increase trade. If you feel safe that you can get your product to market, you will use the road. But there's also the postal system. Approximately 111 postal stations are set up that allows couriers to use horseback to run from one postal station to the next. And when you get there, you can either stop and let somebody else take over, or you can keep going on. But most likely you'll change horses. It's a lot like what you might know of as the Pony Express through the Great Plains of the United States in our early development here. So postal stations are going to allow you to send information faster. It's basically like the internet. It's just old-fashioned. But something a lot of people don't think about when you build something like the Royal Road, or really what we have in the United States as the interstate highway network, or in Germany, the Autobahn. Here is what they are really used for: taking a large army, getting it somewhere fast, and killing whoever's there, which protects your empire. So you can understand that the Royal Road is pretty important for things like that. Now, one of the key movements that these administrators make, probably Darius himself, is replacing the tribute system. The tribute system is good, as you know, it works in China for quite some time, but you're able to build a larger federal army or a central government with taxation. Now, the taxation still might include horses and slaves and silver and whatnot, but eventually this will develop into a money system, a currency system, and with that money you can do so many more things as a central government that makes you big and strong. Another thing is the codification of laws. Now, they did codify laws, which helps blend all these ethnic groups together into this Persian Empire. However, they did pay respect to local customs and traditions so that they didn't infringe upon those local customs and systems so bad that it makes that local area mad and want to retaliate and fight against the Persian Empire. Therefore, you have the establishment of the satrap system, or the satrapies. So Persia is divided up into approximately 23 satrapies. So this is the way for an emperor to rule from a central location and maintain control over his empire. The key component here is local government. So therefore, a governor that is from that region, that local area, he's the leader. Therefore, the people respect him, and because they're from the same culture and language, and they believe that he is the person who's tied into the emperor. So therefore, the local governor can protect those customs and traditions. However, the central government, the emperor, like Darius, will have many generals, and he'll send his most loyal generals to take an army and occupy that region. Therefore, he has a military general kind of controlling the situation there and maintaining order, making it respectful to the emperor's central government. Another one is the tax collector. Doesn't sound like he's real strong, probably doesn't carry a sword, but he takes in money. And what that does, it keeps those satrapies dependent upon the federal government or the central government. So that money goes into the central government where it ends up building bigger armies, which means more army guys get sent to the satrap. Next is the spy network, or what they call the eyes and ears of the emperor. So you send out spies. The thing you do there is make sure that the local governor doesn't start becoming buddies with the military general. Those two become buddies and they build up their own little private army, and now you're going to have a rebellion on your hands. So the spies are out there to make sure that tax collectors aren't skimming off the top, making sure they're doing their job right, making sure the military general is not befriending the local governor. So this is something the spies do to make sure that there's loyalty maintained to the central government. So there's about 23 satrapies that divide up the Persian Empire. So there you go. What we have now is the Persian Empire. We talked a little bit about the leaders that that lead this, such as Cyrus and Darius, the administrator. But it's really the bureaucracy that builds this empire. Yeah, they have a great military. Yeah, they take bronze and they make shields and armor, and they eventually shift to iron. But it's really this administration network that builds such a strong empire.